Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Gilberto Granda, a managing partner at Radius. Good afternoon in your case, Gilberto. How you doing?
Hi, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for joining us today on St. Patrick's Day, and we both are appropriately attired for the day.
I got some balloons for you.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll put on my green lei as well.
Here, let's do this. Let's go all out.
There you go.
Well, I see. I have to be at the right angle for mine to work. There we go. I'm going to take it off for now. So to start with, can you share a brief background of your history and your work and what you've done as in your career?
Sure. It's kind of been all over the place, but I did a biology and chemistry degree, and the first job I took was a pet insurance startup in Toronto. And over time, that pet insurance company evolved from pet insurance to biotech, specifically RFID technology for permanent identification of pets and lost pet recovery. And then eventually it evolved into the leading SaaS provider for animal shelter software in North America, a product called PetPoint. Mm. And so I spent 17.6 years working there. The company went through an IPO on the Toronto Stock Exchange and eventually exited the board through an acquisition by Fairfax Holdings, which is a large insurance company out of Canada. I spent a couple of years there after the acquisition and eventually joined some Brazilians to create another company in a similar space in pet adoption called Adopets, which recently went through Techstars Accelerator out of Boston and has done quite a lot of work around the future of work, as you say it, especially around accelerating pet adoption and doing that virtually. And then most recently, right in the middle of the pandemic, decided to start my own fund, which is called Radius. And we are intentional inclusion fund looking for underrepresented founders in areas of disruption with data. And so we look for companies that have really cool teams, really well-prepared teams to launch a product that's going to help change the industry. And so we've made a few investments and now in the process of raising our first close.
Oh, very cool. And does Radius concentrate on any particular type of business or is it anything that's disruptive?
So disruption is one of the key pieces. Impact is also another part. So we look for businesses that are positive in sort of the ESG metrics that you normally would track. There's a whole lot of companies we don't invest in, but we are, I would say we're narrowly focused generalists that really focus on the ability of data and AI in the platforms that are being funded. Mm-hmm. But we don't say like, oh, we're going to be a SaaS between 2 million and 3 million ARR. Only B2B CRM type SaaS. Like we're not super narrow that way. Hmm.
Okay, and that makes sense. So yeah, just generally, it's got to be the right fit. It sounds like it's something that's going to make a difference and use some form of technology to do that, right?
Yeah, I think the big thing about the fund is about investing in the change you want to see in the world. Hmm. And a lot of problems that are big tend to be very expensive to solve, but there's still a huge area of disruption can happen with less capital intensive data-driven AI. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of company that we look for.
Interesting. And you said you started this right before COVID hit, right? So did that pose any issues for you that you weren't quite ready for?
You know, it was kind of, so COVID hitting was one of the perfect storm. It accelerated the Adopets business tremendously. And so my role there mostly was around selling and getting all the shelters that I knew on board. And there's really, just because of circumstance, there was a over demand for the sales pipeline, as opposed to me having to go and hit the phones and hit the pavement and be at conferences. At the same time, conferences went away. Mm-hmm. And I had always been very much interested in helping other companies. I have been angel investing for some time, even prior to Techstars. And it just made really a lot of sense to look at how you could use your circles of influence. That's part of the reason why it's called Radius, right? Use your circles of influence beyond what's comfortable to you, or you know, what other people have access to, and sort of bring people into that circle or expand that circle to areas that really have an impact. And I think that remote work and what we're doing right now through Zoom is the perfect environment to create that kind of fund. Mm-hmm. And to be able to share that enthusiasm, you know, on camera without travel time. You know, I remember sitting through three demo day pitches that happened in the span of 48 hours. And one was in Denver, one was in California, and the other one's in New York City. And I would have never been able to make that schedule work if I was flying to those different places. And so it just made perfect sense to look at how you would do due diligence virtually. And still hearing this sort of feedback that traditional VCs were going to stick to their own geographical thesis and only fund companies in the Boston ecosystem and still have meetings one-on-one. And for me, I was like, well, okay, if they're going to do it that way, can I do it in a different way? Because I have people I know in Brazil, I know people in Europe, I know people all over the US. I've been to every state except North Dakota and Alaska, you know? And so it was just about, it just made sense to be able to connect with those people virtually. Mm-hmm. And raise a fund that was also not going to overlook people in Middle America and other countries, because, you know, you have this sort of precipitous of startups happening in San Francisco, Boston, New York, and then you forget about Middle America to some degree. And there's a lot of momentum around funding companies that are outside of those typical zones, right? So that's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah, I do notice that a lot of my podcasts have been with people from non-traditional startup areas, that you're seeing more and more of it out there. And there's a lot of really good ideas out there.
Yes, yes.
So sure. So going forward, I mean, we're just starting to come out of it a little. Today, actually, where I live, went to the orange tier. So things are opening up a little bit here, which in California is unusual. Do you see this being the new model, that you're going to continue to do a lot of your work from home and via Zoom?
Yeah, well, so first of all, I don't think it will continue to be the new model forever. Mm-hmm. But I believe that in certain industries, it will become a much more convenient way and acceptable way business-wise to conduct business. Mm-hmm. I think that to some degree, I'm betting a lot on that. Right. You know, we sold our place in Boston. We seeded this fund with it. And we have sort of created our entire sort of fund around the ability to fund people that you don't necessarily get to see, you know, and shake hands with physically. But you still have the opportunity to connect and talk to and do diligence with and invest in through Zoom. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that there is going to be this resurgence of conferences after, and people all want to get back together and travel. But I also know from a biological perspective, you know, my wife's a physician this is an evolving virus. It's going to continue to have different sort of iterations. I've lost family members in Brazil to COVID. I have an aunt that's, still reeling from some long-term effects that are pretty nasty. And I just think it's to some degree irresponsible to sort of just go back to normal. And like, mm-hmm. you know, I got a buddy who's driving from California to Florida right now to go celebrate the birthday of his child, like in at Disney World. And I'm like, are you crazy? Like, this is not like this virus is still going on. Like, the vaccine might solve part of the problem from a spread perspective, but the virus will continue to evolve, and it's kind of a forever thing. And so taking risks that are unnecessary, I believe, are just, you know, frivolous. And I think specifically meetings like business meetings, if you're there at a conference and you want to replicate the sort of ability to meet many people, et cetera, and it's absolutely critical that you're there, that's, I could see that. But at the same time, the efficiency of connecting with people online is, you know, orders of magnitude better than getting on a flight, right? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, let alone the amount of time it frees up in our days, right? You know, to go to a business trip, for me, from San Francisco to New York, it's 2 days, it takes up 2 days. And, you know, if it's a 2-hour meeting, I've lost 14 hours that I could have been more productive, right?
Yeah, I've been on many of those red eyes. You know, I traveled extensively in the U.S., all nooks and crannies. And I remember there'd be days where I traveled to have a, you know, I'd started a breakfast meeting somewhere. You know, I'd be like a 4 a.m. wake up call to like be on the first flight out, you know, and then lunch, and then jump on a flight, connect, you know, and have dinner somewhere else. And like those five flights a day sort of things are just, it's not part of my DNA. Like, it's just never going to happen again.
I agree with you on that. And you're just not as productive when you're, you know, rushing from meeting to dinner to airport, basically, right?
Yeah. You pretend that you're productive, right? Like, you carry your charger.
Right.
You know, like, I think the last laptop I had on a flight was a Surface. You know, so it's like, it's getting smaller, it's getting lighter. But when I first started traveling for work, you know, I'd be dealing with like these 5-pound Dells with the power supply that was like 2 pounds itself, right? Like, and they had maybe 2 hours of battery life. And so really, how productive are you between flights? Like, I think it's just such an inhumane way of conducting business.
Yeah.
And that expectation hopefully has changed it. And I have some friends at work, at some of the world's like top in, you know, sort of companies, corporates, you know, and McKinsey, for example, you know, has publicly announced already, like, they're not doing all the same sort of expenditures that they were doing, as before. You know, they are expecting teams to work remotely effectively. And I think those high functioning individuals, professionals, whatever the profession is, that used to be caught in that corporate sort of like, I got to shake the hand at a boardroom perspective, like they're snapping out of it. And they're seeing that they can still be, they're still self-motivated. They still want to get results for their companies and for their initiatives. And so there's no need to be on a plane, really, unless you're going to a beautiful background like you have right now, like,
yes,
and you're doing it for travel. And I think there's less risk to some degree when you're going to an Airbnb, let's say, you're gonna sit there for 3 weeks, you're in your own bubble, in a beautiful setting, and you're taking some time to explore the world. I think that's still important. I think travel will come back, leisure travel will come back with a vengeance, but I don't think business travel that's non-essential is really ever coming back.
I would agree with you. And then interestingly, I mean, you fund startup companies, and it used to be when a startup would get that initial funding, one of the first things they would do is go buy a really nice office space in the heart of a downtown. And now, you know, what would be your suggestion to a new startup? Is like, is that really needed now?
So, you know, there's a startup that went through Techstars with us in Boston 2019. The company's called Drag, and they had a remote team to begin with. They had an engineer in Japan. They had an engineer in, or their CTO was in Brazil. The CEO and the COO were in the UK, but they had ties to Boston. I think they had one or two team members in Boston. I think that my recommendation for any startup is, you know, runway is key, right? Like, access to funding is something that is very much sort of like centered around San Francisco, Boston, New York, you know, and you have to be lucky and have to have the connections to be able to get the money when you need it. So managing that runway is so important. Even things like flex workspace, like WeWork or whatever, like, you know, $800, $700 a desk, like, you know, that is just so much money for a startup that can be used for growing the business. It's so key that traction is part of your focus, especially as you're raising, because, you know, building out a product and you're spending all this money on infrastructure that you don't need, office space and travel and conferences, like that is really, you know, it's great if you have the cash, but think of how much longer you have in terms of runway if you don't spend the cash there.
So you can spend it on talent instead of fancy desk. And do you see more of this where the executive teams are distributed in around the world? I mean, because it used to be you'd get a team and they'd all live in one city. But now I think you're starting to see it really being more distributed, that they're finding the best talent from wherever that person happens to be. Do you see that more often now?
Yeah, so last year, I mean, there's one major nonprofit here. I worked with mostly nonprofits for my first sort of 20 years of career, mostly animal shelters. And it was the first time that I saw a national nonprofit pick a pretty sort of one-way approach that's like sort of like, we're never going back to an office, right? Like they divested from their office, which was an expensive sort of area. They started hiring remote people in other time zones throughout Canada, and it just made total sense to them. Managing a team remotely is not the same though, right? Mm-hmm. And so shifting that corporate culture from physically going into an office and being there, you know, I don't think a lot of startups start that way, but there is definitely a value to being together, and being physically together as a startup is one of the most sort of important memories that I've had from Techstars, and even, you know, with events that I did with Pet Health, with clients, et cetera. But I think now more and more senior level executive positions are being hired based on time zone and not based on, you know, where they are physically in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that the people that are in that sort of startup world or, you know, tech world, are looking to get rid of their places, like in a place like Boston where, you know, parking lot or parking fee is like $500 a month. Like, and they're looking at other places like, okay, well, what's the tax implication of me moving this business to Costa Rica or, you know, moving this business to somewhere else? Because if I can hire engineering talent through my own network or through some other service in other parts of the world, and I'm a great project manager and the vision of the company still lives, I don't have to physically be somewhere, right? So I do hope that will continue. I think there probably won't work, you know, once you get to the point where you're taking like Series B and C type funding, and you kind of have to physically be somewhere, and you try to keep that corporate culture the same, but it always changes, right? Like as more institutional money flows in, they kind of expect you to sort of change, you know, and be a little bit more present and accessible. And I think that that's okay. Mm-hmm. But if you can delay it as much as you can, that's the best.
Yes, it is. And as you know, generally when you're, you know, Series B, Series C, you have revenue. So you're not bleeding as much as you might have been at seed in Series A. So true.
Yeah. Traction is better than fundraising anyway. So, you know, just keep finding the best, like, you know, margin you can, improving the product, getting like amazing, you know, a team around the mission and whatever you're building. And the rest will sort itself out.
So. Yeah, I think you've come to that decision at when it really starts to bubble up. Do we really now have to have that office? Because it might make more business sense at that point in economic sense, right? So, well,
yeah, for sure.
Well, Gilberto, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great talking to you. You're in one of my favorite cities in the world, Toronto. Hope to get there again soon now that travel's starting to open up. And I think I'll wait till maybe May or June when it gets a little bit warmer.
Right on. Yeah, I think we'd be happy to host you here when you prove you have your vaccine and can cross the border. You're welcome.
True. All right. Well, thank you. I look forward to it. Have a great day.
Thank you.